Tim, good morning.
G'day, good to be with you.
Pleasure to have you with us. Tim, as we say, we've seen round after round of tariffs in this so-called trade war. It seems a little bit tit for tat. Despite talks and negotiations, do we seem to be anywhere closer to a conclusion?
Interesting, isn't it? You know, we originally thought that Donald Trump as a candidate was just threatening a trade war by Twitter. And really, he just wanted to make a few threats. And then when a couple of companies, you know, in America announced they were, you know, returning to Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, he just declared victory. But he's actually been serious, and he has been putting up these tariffs, which in some ways is like putting rocks in your own harbour, because it ultimately hurt American consumers and American farmers.
As you say right there, the tariffs are hurting Americans, particularly it would seem in Trump country.
Well, that's right. I mean, he won these states, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, that normally they'd be Democrat, and when Hillary Clinton really didn't campaign at all there after the convention. So he really appealed to those sectors. But when you look at, you know, soybean farmers, and you look at rice, and you look at manufacturers of Harley Davidsons, you know, it's all hurting states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania that actually went to Trump, and the states that he'll need in 2020 when he goes for re-election.
Now, it's very easy to be critical of Donald Trump, fun too sometimes, but in terms of what China has been doing and some of the complaints levelled against China, is there need for genuine concern and genuine fight back, I guess?
Yeah, you make a very good point. I mean, you know, people are very critical of President Donald Trump, but many people think that China has been having an unfair advantage in the world trading system. Many people think that there's difficulties with market access and intellectual property, and the you know, the strange connection between companies and state-owned enterprises in national security. We've seen that in Australia, where some Chinese foreign investment has been knocked back on national security grounds. So I think, as much as people are critical of Donald Trump, a lot of people have been egging on, and I think the European Union and the Japanese and the Brazilians and other countries have been pretty happy with someone taking on China.
Might just touch again on that sort of connection between the state and supposedly private companies in a moment, but discussing the situation here in Australia, as we say, I mean, US is basically one of our closest allies in a lot of ways and has been for quite a while China is our biggest trading partner. What are the implications for Australia right now? It doesn't seem like it's rocked the boat for us too much just yet. But if this keeps going on and going on, what are the implications for Australia?
Well, no one wins with a trade war. You know, as a small open economy, Australia does not want an international trade war with everyone putting up tariffs. It would be like the Great Depression when we had the Smoot-Hartley Tariff Act, and also, you know, similar action by the British Empire. So that's the last thing we really need. But having said that, I mean, we don't want things to go too well, because, I mean, there is a danger, of course, that Donald Trump could do a managed trade deal with China, where he basically agrees to bilaterally buy stuff with China, provided they take American goods, and you wouldn't want that to, you know, to lock Australia out of a lucrative market. So we sort of don't want things to go very badly. We don't want them to go too well. We don't want a world of managed trade.
That is, I guess, the biggest concern right now, hitting that sweet spot. I mean, mum and dad can't fight forever, but at the same time, if this agreement does become too close, well, where does it leave Australia out in the cold?
Well, it could do. But I think for the most part, I mean, you've got to be realistic. I mean, China needs Australian coal, iron ore, LNG, our services. We've done trade deals not only with China but Japan and Korea. They're very competitive with those countries, and they're countries like Japan and South Korea are very very much energy and food importers, and they need Australia. So China needs us. I wouldn't be thinking that China's going to let us adrift, that we're very important to their future economic development too.
What about the implications for the newly elected Morrison government? And I mean, as we know, Scott Morrison at the time of the last budget was saying they've brought us back into surplus next year. That was based on some fairly optimistic economic numbers. Is there sort of trouble on the horizon if the economy weakens for Morrison and his ilk?
Well, I mean, our budget's very, you know, very much dependent on coal and iron ore and LNG exports, and for the people that want to, you know, get out of coal, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, well, where is the NDIS going to be funded? How is health going to be funded? How is education going to be funded? So we are very reliant on those exports in our present budgetary situation. Emma, I don't think trying to get a surplus next year is neither here nor there. It's really, you know, keeping unemployment down, keeping inflation at sustainable levels, and keeping growth up. That's the important thing for the economy to do to be doing. The budget is really a means to an end. You know, getting a budget surplus by hook or by crook is not, really shouldn't be your end game. It should be the overall health of the Australian economy.
And as I said before, I mean, you mentioned the connection between the Chinese state and some of these corporations. Now, the biggest one we've seen over the past couple of weeks is this discussion, this battle around Huawei, the Chinese telecommunications company. Now, America is looking at, fighting back against Huawei, banning Huawei, while China goes, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to ban iPhones and the like. Now, this kicked off through Australia. The security concerns around Huawei and 5G networks kicked off here in Australia. Are we going to be drawn into that battle as well?
Well, we're not alone. I mean, the Czech Republic made the same decision on Huawei. Everyone knows, you know, there's strong connections to the Chinese state and the telecommunications company. The only person who ignored it was Theresa May. And look what happened to her. So I would have thought that's not an unusual thing. And ultimately, China is learning, as it becomes more of an international player, that it does have to start building a separation between the state and its international companies, in the same way that Japan and India have done very successfully on the international stage. It's a new thing that China will be developing this century.
Well, Tim, really do appreciate your time joining us this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
My pleasure. Very happy to be with you. Thanks for inviting me on.